Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy, and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 5th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, OPEC plans to cut crude oil output by a million barrels a day, ASAP. Well, the price of natural gas has dropped between 35 to 40%. And work on the 2007 version of the Farm Bill is expected to begin in April. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And then just after the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at 464, down a penny. The March futures off 2 cents at 477 and one half. December corn futures 271 and three quarters, down 2.5 cents. The March futures at 283 and a quarter, off 4 1/4. And the May contract down a nickel today at $2.91. December corn for next year at 308 and three quarters, down 4 1/2 cents. November soybean futures were 10 1/4 higher today at 565 1/2. The Jans at $5.80 were up 10 1/2. And the March contract at 589 and three quarters were up 8 3/4. November 623 1/2, 8 cents higher. October bean meal 167.30, up 2.30. October bean oil up 30 cents at 23.82. From the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle October contract at 113.45. They're 52.5 higher. October live cattle at 91.35, up 97.5 cents. And December futures at $90.10, up 82.5. October lean hogs, 82.5 cents higher at 65.35 for the day. Outside markets, crude oil at $59.95 a barrel, 54 cents a barrel higher at this hour. The CRB index at 300.51 is at 3.4 higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, now trading at 11,858, is up right at 8 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, and the outside markets, as he does each and every Thursday afternoon, is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Tell me about this 10 1/4 cent jump in the bean pit today, and more importantly, why it happened 2 days in a row.
Well, everybody's short beans. All the news is bearish, Todd, so the shorts are covering. They got a bearish report here today from the Sparks Group, increasing production 100 million or so, and here we are. We closed up a dime. So I think, you know, the key force here is either the supply people are wrong on looking at such a big crop, or maybe the demand is much stronger than what everybody thinks. And you can kind of look at today's export sales number on soybeans, and you have to kind of be excited about it, where we sold upwards of 45 million bushels of wheat or of soybeans, and they were only looking at something between 22 and 33, and you know the marketing year total is well ahead of a year ago. So you got some pretty good demand underneath this market. The other thing is that I don't think end users got anything bought this fall. I think everybody was waiting around for sharply lower price in both corn and soybeans due to the large carryouts, and they all remember what happened a year ago with Katrina and the wide basis levels and storage shortages and whatnot. And the grain trade basically had those factors all discounted by the time August came around, so the pipeline's fairly empty, and we're not that far along in harvest. I think the early harvested beans, farmers have been fairly tight holders of those. So I think they're, you know, the market has kind of got a vacuum here of trying to get some inventory to meet these export sales needs, to get some inventory to crush and whatnot. Technically, we've climbed back to where we were in early August on the lead futures chart. If you look at the lead weekly chart, where when we broke down underneath those 05, 06 trend lines back there in early August, now we've climbed back into that pennant after spending about, I think 7 or 8 weeks or so down underneath that level. So if we can kind of maintain this strength on into Friday and we get a weekly close up above that uptrend line, I think then you've got to say that this move down underneath this 0506 trend line was a bear trap here with these 8 weeks of these lower prices, and the underlying fundamental current of supply and demand balance sheets probably a much more positive than what one would basically look at least what we know anyway, based upon production and all these private estimates.
So the possibility is that beans being used at a more rapid pace than expected, and corn acres potentially being bought, and maybe they're trying to keep that from happening just a bit, at least in South America at this point, trying to encourage some acres that may not be going into the ground because...
Right, that's all part of it. Right now, they'll be worried about, the South American planting or growing season is underway. Most projections basically, of course, it depends upon weather, really don't look for overall South American production to go up much, maybe 1 or 2 million tons. And you've got growing world demand on soybeans. And if you've got the number one producer of soybeans, not showing much of an increase. And then you look at the number two producer of soybeans worldwide, the U.S., looking at a pretty sharp acreage decline due to increased wheat acres and corn acres, you can visualize some supply and demand tightening going on. And when you do that, then the market has to react and make current values worth more money. And, of course, by making them worth more money, what that does is discourage production. Or discourages usage and or encourages production, and maybe it's going to try to buy some of those acres back into production that it's lost to corn and wheat here over the past couple months.
Speaking of corn and wheat, they both managed to tally losses for the day.
Well, corn's got some losses, but chart-wise, we've done some good things. If you look at a long-term monthly chart and draw a trend line off of the 96 high, off of last year's high, we have penetrated that now. Last week we rallied right up against it there on Friday, and then now with this week's advance, we have clearly broken above that trend line. So that kind of tees up, like a 38% retracement of that whole decline from 96 to 2000. Which kind of puts it up into where we were here a year or two ago up here in the 320s. So the corn market is kind of teed up for a long-term move up into those areas. I think short-term it might have some problems. We may be a little bit on the overbought stage. I think we're far enough along in the 10-week cycle that the market may want to kind of consolidate some, but 2 cents down here on the front end. And of course, one thing you'd be watching this corn market here, you begin to see it for a week or two. It was noticeable yesterday, and now it's real noticeable is that the market is being bull spread now, where front end December corn was only down 2.5. You can see March was down 4, and May was down 5, and next December was down 4.5. So, the thing that you have to be watchful here, export sales were very strong again here today. The overall marketing pace is very strong. I think you've got everybody worried that we may run out of corn next spring, so you've got all of these domestic end users and foreign users wanting to get some corn bought in case things do go sharply higher. So we may be putting all of the bullishness of next spring and summer into the market this fall. I think we've got a ways to go yet before that's complete, but that's something one may want to watch for.
And are you saying that 320 is the top end of the bullishness on
that? No, I never said that.
I just wanted to make sure.
That tees up the next move to 320. Gotcha. I never said that was going to be the top or if it was even going to be attained. What I'm saying is that one has to be watchful that we don't bring all of this bullishness of next year forward and put it into the market this fall and early winter.
And what are the signs in your mind that that's the case, and how do you?
Well, I think the bull spread here is telling you that maybe that's beginning to happen. And I think the way that the bean market is performing, that may be indicating that the corn acres are bought. But there's one thing having them bought, and it's another thing of getting them planted. So the corn market could still do some pretty fancy dancing, you know, between November and next April. And, of course, a lot of that depends upon, you know, probably the spring planting season. But it does tell you that the corn acres have been bought. I think the wheat acres have been bought, but they're not necessarily all planted. So corn and wheat prices have rallied to buy acres. But like I said, they're not planted. So in wheat's case, we've got another few weeks here to see if they all get planted. In corn's case, we're going to have to wait all the way to April, May to see if they get planted. So there will be plenty of curveballs probably thrown at the market. But if we get the acres bought, which I think we have, and then if we go through the winter and demand doesn't show any improvement or all of the demand came forward here this fall, and we have a good spring, well, then you might be looking backwards and say, well, why didn't I sell it? Mm-hmm. So that's just something to kind of be watchful for.
And speaking of the sales, I believe last week you told us if things popped above 280 in the Dease that you'd be looking maybe at some cash sales. Is that where you're starting again still? I know this.
I would take a look at that. I mean, the next objective here on December futures is probably the summer high or contract high about 87.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, you know, longer term, the weekly chart basically opens up the move to challenge here a year ago's high or 2 years ago high up there in 3.25. So, you know, we'll just have to kind of take one day at a time in here and kind of see how this fall plays out. But like I said, also said on the short-term basis, it wouldn't surprise me if the market kind of ran out of a little steam here for a week or two, until we see what USJ throws at us next week's report.
Dan, we appreciate you being with us.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolandagrienergy.com.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the weather forecast. Let's recap what Mike Sola has to say for this afternoon across the two-state region. He says mainly clear skies. This is for this evening, by the way. Lows will range from 35 in the far north to 48 in the southern part of Illinois. Tomorrow, Mike says, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 60 near Lake Michigan to 72 in the far south. The afternoon forecast in northern and central sections for today, partly to mostly sunny in the south, partly to mostly cloudy. Highs today from 55 in northern Illinois to 67 in southwestern Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580. Dave Dickey will be here in just a moment with all of today's agricultural news. I'm Todd Gleason.
In agricultural news, OPEC officials say they will cut crude oil output by 1 million barrels per day as soon as possible to prop up prices. Top world exporter Saudi Arabia will lower production by 300,000 barrels a day as part of the plan. The reduction will be OPEC's first since April of 2004. Crude oil futures moved back above $60 on the announcement. Meanwhile, natural gas prices are running between 35 and 40% of a year ago. Terry Francel is senior economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation.
So that means substantially a lower cost of production for nitrogen fertilizers, and that's being reflected in prices this fall. We're seeing nitrogen fertilizer prices $50, $7,500 a ton less, depending on the product, than they were a year ago.
U.S. distillate supplies rose 200,000 barrels last week, remaining at its highest level since 1999. The ranking member of the House Agriculture Committee says work to draft Farm Bill 2007 will likely begin in earnest next April. Minnesota Congressman Colin Peterson says money concerns will play into the timing.
Well, we've been through a lot of the hearing process. We're continuing through that. Timing will be determined by when we get the budget allocation and when we get the baseline numbers, which I assume should be by April. So we're going to try to get all the preliminary work done, and then I would say once we get those numbers, then we'll be starting to piece things together and see how we can make things fit within the amount of money that we get.
Peterson says despite USDA Secretary Mike Johann's desire to completely overhaul the 2002 Farm Bill to make it WTO compliant and level subsidy playing fields to include new crops, it's more likely the new Farm Bill will have a lot in common with the current version.
It's always a challenge because the United States is a big country. You have very different interests in different parts of the country between commodities, regions, so forth. Our biggest challenge is, like it is every time, is just trying to get a bill that everybody can live with. Probably nobody's happy with, but everybody can live with. And that's a lot of what our work is. If we have more money, it makes it easier to solve that. The WTO was potentially an issue, but I really think I met with Mandelson last week and others, and I just don't see that coming together anytime soon. So I think we're going to proceed, assuming that's not going to happen. And you know, I think the Farm Bill is going to look a lot like it does today, tweaking it here and there. I don't think we're going to extend it unless we get gridlocked and can't do anything else. But I'd like to see a permanent disaster title added. I'd like to see a significant energy title added to it.
Peterson says there is still not a real marketplace in the world, and until that time, U.S. producers need a safety net. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, is your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, in today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus says public television is telling the farmer's story.
We just need to do a better job of telling the farmer's story to non-farmers. Anyone who has hung around the machine shed, a small-town diner, or a barber shop in rural America has surely heard this lament. Usually, the phrase is preceded by the latest report of well-meaning consumers being snookered by slick campaigns from activist groups determined to drag agriculture through the mud. The challenge confronting agricultural communicators is how to tell agriculture's story to American consumers in a meaningful and tangible way. It simply is not feasible, affordable, or effective to drop leaflets over a city or buy a series of commercials during the Super Bowl or even purchase the naming rights to a professional sports stadium. Although some might think American Farmer and Rancher Stadium has a nice ring to it. In the search for an appropriate vehicle to not only give farmers a voice, but one that would attract the interest of consumers, last year a new public television show came to fruition. America's Heartland, a national public television series, has been a resounding success. The show recently embarked on its second season of telling the story of America's farm and ranch families to a sophisticated, consumer-oriented public television audience. America's Heartland celebrates the way of life, the state of mind, and the rural pride that embodies American agriculture. For the second season, the show's emphasis is to tell more stories that showcase how America's traditional commodity crops, including wheat, corn, soybeans, rice, cotton, and livestock, are grown. The show tells the story of how farm and ranch families undertake the major tasks of caring for their animals and planting, nurturing, and harvesting their crops in ways that not only sustain their families economically, but also conserve the natural resources on which they rely. Also, the show is continuing to honor the small farmer seeking new and innovative ways to survive and succeed in an increasingly competitive marketplace. American agriculture always has known the value of telling the farmer's story, but there has never been a vehicle that does so in quite the style of America's heartland. You can bet the officials from the show's flagship supporting groups, Monsanto and the American Farm Bureau Federation, have frequently heard the old mantra about doing a better job telling the farmer's story. Now that they have found an effective way to accomplish the goal, America's Heartland is a prime destination for public television viewers for the duration of the 2006-2007 television season. This is Amy Rochkis with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkis' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. But we strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850. Hey, by the way, our companion station, WILL-TV Channel 12, airs America's Heartland Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Central. It is immediately followed by my weekly U of I Extension 2-minute long television news segment, and then Market to Market with Mark Pearson. It's an hour of agricultural programming on WILL-TV Channel 12 each and every Sunday morning, beginning at 11 a.m. Central Time.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Joining us on this Thursday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market is Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We usually talk about the cash grain market, but it's been such a wild and woolly couple of days. I'd like to maybe stick with the Board of Trade for just a bit up front. Tell me about your assessment of what's been happening there and what you see in the marketplace.
Well, I thought the one thing today that was very interesting was the spread trade, and it's been a long time since I've seen the spreads change like they changed today. At one point, you saw, for example, the December-July wheat spread was about 20 cents change from last night's close. During the session, we saw the December-March corn spread some 3 cents less than what it was at the close last night, and that's telling us something. I'm not sure that it's telling us, you know, what's driving the market, whether it's supply or demand. I think it does lead somewhat to the demand side, as Dan was saying earlier. But it also probably shows that there's some positions being forced out of this market, some shorts that are in the nearby that are, you know, are getting forced out basically because of the higher levels. On the bean side, I'm not sure. I mean, we went through some technical levels. I think Dan also talked about that here earlier today. We sure aren't seeing any beans move other than maybe a few yesterday that, you know, took advantage of the LDP and went ahead and moved some beans.
What kind of, speaking of LDPs and just cash movement in general, farmers are moving along swiftly in your area, I assume, on harvest?
Very steady. Haven't really seen the huge days like we've seen sometimes in the past, but every day is a good harvest day. I mean, they have good steady volume, and really today, surprisingly to me, the corn is probably larger volume than the beans. I thought they'd probably really hit the beans, but there must not be the moisture low enough at this point.
Well, they might still be a little tough under the gray skies.
Yeah.
Who knows for sure exactly what's happening out there. But as you take a look at the cash grain market and the basis levels, how have they been reacting over this past week?
Really, we've seen things pretty steady, a little bit of improvement as we move through the week locally. The river's gotten a little bit better. The processors, you know, kind of poked their head up and tried to buy beans a couple of times here, but nothing real great. The Gulf bid is a little bit better on beans today and a couple cents weaker on corn. So not much movement, but it's staying steady, which, you know, as we go through this heavy harvest period is good.
And your bids for the day are?
Cash corn is at 248. Beans are at 530.
Bill, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Bill Mares with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. House Speaker Dennis Hastert says he's deeply sorry for the congressional page sex scandal that's broken out in Washington. The Illinois Republican says he only learned of the problem Friday, but said today the buck stops here, and he's taking responsibility for the handling of the situation. He says in retrospect the congressional page board could have done a better job of handling revelations that a congressman had made inappropriate contact with a teenage page. But he says they did the best they could with the information they had at the time. Hastert says he's asked the Justice Department, the FBI, and the state of Florida to investigate, and he adds he has no intention of stepping down as Speaker. Hastert made his comments at a news conference today outside his district office in suburban Batavia. Meanwhile, an advocacy group for victims of clergy sex abuse says another Illinois congressman should resign his position as head of the U.S. House Page Program. In numerous interviews this week, John Shimkus of Collinsville says he won't resign. He says he takes issue with people suggesting he didn't thoroughly investigate the inappropriate correspondence that Congressman Mark Foley sent to the page. But Barb Doris, the head of a group called Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, or SNAP, contends Shimkus is blaming others, including the media and partisan advocates. Indiana's House Republicans are proposing up to $145 million in grants for school districts to use as they see fit. They also suggest giving tax credits to low-income families who choose to send their children to either a private school or a public school outside their assigned district. A University of Illinois professor says growing large amounts of alternative crops for biofuels could have drawbacks. S. Raghu is the lead author of a journal article that questions the sudden widespread planting of crops like switchgrass and miscanthus, exotic species that can be burned as an inexpensive fuel. Raghu says the crops are an invasive species, and more research is in order to make sure their use wouldn't overtake a natural habitat. And the Savoy Village Board will investigate adding a new member, a student member, who would be picked from area high schools. One supporter of the idea says appointing a student trustee would help provide a first-person education in local government. The students' votes would not be counted toward an official board vote. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. We're usually joined by Peter Levitt to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the day. Pete, unfortunately, is a bit under the weather and cannot make our program this afternoon. We do have Mike Sola's forecast for the two-state region. It looks like this. He says tonight, mainly clear skies. Lows will range from 35 in the far northern parts of the two-state region to 48 in southern Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 60 near Lake Michigan to 72 in the far south tomorrow, by the way. Taking a more detailed look, winds will diminish at that this evening and continue at less than 15 miles an hour through the weekend. Northwestern Illinois will have the strongest winds at around 10 miles an hour. In the south, winds will be very light. The minimum relative afternoon humidity ranging between 35% in western Illinois to around 50% in the north. The extended forecast highlights for the two states the entire area looks to be free of precipitation, says Mike Sola, through the weekend and possibly into the middle of next week. Excellent harvest conditions, with the possible exception of southern Indiana, where some fields are still a bit muddy from flooding rains last week. Temperatures, he says, will climb from near average to start the weekend to above average early next week. Indications are for a big temperature drop to take place across the entire Midwest towards the end of next week. And that's a look at today's agricultural weather forecast from our own Mike Sola for the afternoon.